Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, I'm Greg Lancaster, so excited to be able to be here with you today. Those that are joining us around the world, around the nation, around the Emerald Coast, where the studios are located. I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining me today, of course, is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John, who is out with our sponsors today and meeting with them. We just thank God for our sponsors and appreciate all of you that are standing with us.
Yes.
And if you are wanting to also join our sponsors, get with John today. We'll be making his number available for you today to be able to reach him. I believe it's 850-712-3743.
Correct.
That's 850-712-3743. We want to help empower your business. I mean, this is a team in regards to what we're doing because we believe agreement's powerful and standing together. We've seen it for years.
That's right.
And God has specifically told us, very specific about that he's going to bless those businesses who stand up for him. And believe me, on this side of the paradigm, you want to stand up for God.
That's right.
And not only that, without the three pillars, you know, God and country in that order and Israel, us standing with Israel, there is no clientele, there is no economy, and there's no need for you to continue to pay taxes on a business that makes no money. So, hey, it's like a win-win situation right here. And we just thank God for all of our sponsors out there. Filling in for John today is, he's always behind the scenes, but he's in the front today. You can tell he brushed his hair. He's like right here on Christian Television Network for all of us. As you can tell, it's not that his chair is taller. It's the same chair that John's sitting in. And we had to adjust the mic and get it to go a little bit higher than what it was. But glad to have Steve join us today.
Good to be here.
Yeah. It's good to be here, too. Isn't that wonderful? What's been going on? Oh, my goodness.
I don't know.
Oh, my goodness.
It's a melancholy thing, I guess.
Is it? It's probably that. You know, I had a wonderful time. Well, tell me, I mean, I got a chance to hear on VFN Radio what took place at the VFN Dream Center. It was pretty powerful.
Oh, yeah.
It was? Wow.
Amazing. It was wonderful. Yeah, it's powerful. Yeah, Barbara got a chance to share with us yesterday.
Yeah.
About ready, set go.
Go. What a concept.
I know, right?
Isn't that beautiful?
It was beautiful. Yeah, she did an awesome job sharing with us.
If you missed that, you've got to catch that. But I know that we were encouraged. Don and I were traveling back from Mariana listening because it comes on. It's live every Sunday at approximately 10:30 a.m., I believe. Mm-hmm. And then at 3:30 p.m., these are central times.
3 o'clock.
3 o'clock. 3 o'clock p.m., you can hear it again. And that's it. Mm-hmm. You know, in the context of being a chance to hear that. And that's for all of our family that's all around the world that feels related and connected to the Dream, to the Vine Fellowship Network, to get a chance to be fed and be encouraged in addition to what's taking place on VFN-TV. And I think she was kind of authentic. She was transparent.
Very.
And she was bold. And I'm getting messages even right now that people were walking in her shoes because she was honest, because she was authentic, that people now who are walking with religion have made their mind up to walk with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
People that were following religion said, I'm ready to follow Jesus. And this, by the way, it's actually a wonderful thing to let go of religion and follow Jesus.
Mm.
Religion is just burdensome and tiresome, and it's just amazing and
mm-hmm.
And confronts Jesus for some reason. But following Jesus is like forgiveness, mercy, grace, direction, hope, eternity, no more tears, no more. I mean, come on. I mean, this heaven's for, you know, all these wonderful things.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully we're going to have available, you're going to hear today, fruitless wonders. We're going to talk about fruitless wonders because that's what's going on. Because people can preach about a kingdom that they themselves will not be entering in.
Mm-hmm.
But because they preached accurately, they preached what God said, people believe what God said, and the power of the name of Jesus brings them into a kingdom that they themselves are not even in.
Right.
That's just it. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't that be a shame?
Horrific.
It'll happen. Many people are going to, it's going to happen on that day. It's going to come that way. And, but I got a chance to be at the, in Mariana to spend some time at the Christian Center over there and, with, the Christian Center Church in Mariana with Pastor Jack and the whole family there and Shelley. And it's always good to be able to be there. But they say they have a new nickname for me now.
Oh, really?
They have a new nickname for me because 100 times the traffic that they get on their broadcast that goes and streams out happen and crash the system.
Oh, my God.
Crash the system, and people started messaging or whatever into the gathering place there at the Christian Center. Mm-hmm. And it's the first time that ever happened. So I just want to thank all those that are following. And if you are in the Mary Anner area, you want to be able to join an apostolic family there, Jack Hollis, and at the Christian Center there. It is just amazing, the family that's there, and just powerful. And just so enjoy it, and I enjoy the people there, and met a lot of things. Hopefully I get a chance to share some of the stories I hear. Hey, Rick, I wasn't going to think about this, but since you said I was gathering material, I'm just going to go ahead and talk about it. Just joking. I won't use your name. But it's interesting things that go on in Mariana. But, yeah, they call it a nickname for me, Crash.
Oh, Crash. Yeah, okay.
Crash, because of all of...
didn't have that effect on people.
Yeah, we did. Remember that one particular company wanted to work with us, and they said, oh, yes, whatever. You know, we went, oh, sure. And next thing they send us, what did the message say?
Cease and desist.
Cease and desist. Do not have any more of your stuff come our way. Oh, my goodness, you're crashing everything that we do.
Yeah.
And that's
unlimited
exciting.
Does not mean unlimited, apparently.
Yeah, right. You're right. And they, you know, people's we have a viewpoint. Understand, we're believing for a third great awakening. You know, so get ready, get everything ready, because you're looking at a momentum that has to happen quickly. Mm-hmm. And why not happen quickly? And enter in, and all of a sudden to see the DNA of a nation change, and when America's DNA changes back to its original intent, then the DNA of the world will begin to change again, because we will be standing again for God and Israel and the original founding intent of this nation. So, but I had a wonderful time there, and had German food in Mariana.
German food?
Yeah, a few miles away from the city there. But yeah, German.
Authentic.
If you need their schnitzels. No, it was actually pork schnitzel. Somebody had some pork schnitzel, some chicken schnitzel, and... hamburger schnitzel. Serious. You know what schnitzel means?
No idea.
You don't? No. I don't know what schnitzel means.
Chicken, right?
No.
Chicken. Everything means chicken. Everything tastes like chicken. No, I didn't either. It means they beat stuff up, cut it real thin. Whatever it is, that means, you know.
Beat the stew out.
You don't want anybody to make a schnitzel out of you. You know, like knocking you down and stuff. Mm-mm. But I did get a chance to talk about sibling robbery, duct tape, tricycles, and French doors when I was there. I don't know what happened.
Duct tape?
Yeah, duct tape. I don't know what. It may have been masking tape. I don't know what it was. But so many people related, and where knowledge came up says, is this Chris in Second Street? Yeah, right. No, I don't know what brought that up, but you know what I mean? Any opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Did I ever tell you about the diamond?
Yeah, exactly.
I did say, though. As I was speaking, I said, I'm just saying, you know, I'm just saying.
Right.
But it was so powerful. So God touched so many folks from so many different paradigms at the moment of the end of the gathering. And it was so cool to watch what was taking place in the lives of so many, and tears and healing and blessing and freedom. And just so many things were happening there. And it was just cool. Wow. It was just really, really cool to watch God. I mean, he's moving all over the earth. Listen, you want to follow Jesus. You want to get with, and when you hear about fruitless wonders today, as we talk about it, you need to really listen to this, because you can actually do things that wonder people, go, wow, and successfully accomplish things in the kingdom, a kingdom that you're not even in, And I believe Barbara talked a lot about that on Sunday when she was talking about it. Oh, we had a great time. We had a great time listening to that. We'll get a chance to talk about sometimes, believe it or not, Paul's talking about this, and it's true, that sometimes going to a church gathering can be more harmful than good. That sometimes people don't understand. It's like, sometimes you just got to stop. Just stop for a moment. Mm-hmm.
Catch your breath.
You know, right. That mm-hmm. that sacrificial altar you're doing right now, let's hold off and let's rethink this thing through. You don't want to be sacrificing folks on that. I know this is what we've been doing originally. We started off doing the right thing, but whatever the heck you're doing right mm-hmm. there. I mean, you don't. Some people just, no matter what happens, no matter what demon takes over, they just keep walking in this place, this gathering place. And Paul's listening. Your gatherings are doing more damage than good. And so it's and we're going to talk about that. It's not about, you know, stop. It's talking about, you know, beginning to just check ourselves and begin to challenge ourselves in the Word of God to reboot our gathering back, which we call repent, mm-hmm. and get back to our original intent again. And hopefully we get a chance about who's running to win. Today, everybody gets a trophy. It doesn't matter who it is. Everybody gets a trophy. You play on the team. They're so scared that somebody will be left out, so they just give everybody a trophy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, what was the significance of even trying hard? Mm-hmm. And how was the paradigm work when we're told by Paul to run to win the race?
Right.
And God's telling us, I have a crown waiting for you at the end of it, and if you don't run to win, and if you don't train to fight, you know, it might not be good. So we're mm-hmm. going to talk about that this passive, not the adjective. That's the strangest adjectives coming up lately. It's amazing. Adjectives can be very dangerous.
Oh, yeah.
Very much so.
Are you thinking an adjective right now? I should not have told that. No.
You gotta be careful.
Yeah, right. I'm just, you know, it's even, not I'm talking about, anyway. So, realize I don't have any idea what's going on in your mind. That, nor am I responsible for it. But the thing is that we need to actually run in such a way that it takes effort and energy, and it takes, I mean, can you imagine being a Marine and not going through Paris Island or going, I mean, it's like, yeah, see? Y'all missed his reaction, but it was a lip dragging on one side and it came back up again. Since we're on radio and television, you might probably want to say, what do you think that, what would that be like?
That just doesn't connect. It's.
Would you put your trust behind
a
Marine? But what if he's dressed like the Marine?
You just in a 5-minute conversation, you can talk to somebody and just be like, do you really have no idea what you're talking about?
Right. Put that one on the chalkboard. Don't ask for cover. That's not going to happen in the mm-hmm. context of that. Also, you know, will Israel, CBN News is reporting, will Israel act alone on Iran's nuclear threat? And hopefully we're going to get a chance to be able to, they have a ministry. Iran, who we did not help with the Green Party, who asked us for help when all this Arab Spring was going on. And I'm not saying that she's not an American and she's not loyal to America or anything like this, but it is something to bring up that our president's chief advisor was born in Iran and we didn't help Iran get free. And our current administration is saying lift the sanctions off of Iran, and Iran saying, hey, and our president said, to go back to the 67 undefensible border lines mm-hmm. in Iran. And now we're actually finding out that Iran has a ministry. That, I mean, like, you have the Ministry of Education, you have the minister, we would say Secretary of State or so, mm-hmm. ministry. They have a ministry for radical Islam to be able to fuel it wherever. That's what they fund it.
Wow.
They fund that. And so they fund that. And they think about it. And it's like, and we're supporting that. Our current leadership is supporting this whole thing, this ministry against what we're fighting against. Mm-hmm. And it's like, wait a minute, you had us remove their names from all the FBI, according to Michelle Bachmann, mm-hmm. remove the name of radical Islam and any negative viewpoints of them being our adversary. Now, Iran has a ministry to fuel radical Islam. They have a governmental office to fuel it. We didn't support them in the Green Party. They're wanting to annihilate Israel. They're wanting to also do the same thing with America. And they're saying they're moments away from getting nuclear weapons, which changes the paradigm of the world at that one moment. And it's like, whose side are you on? Mm-hmm. Oh, Alinsky. We'll talk about this more when we get back from the break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
culture, issues, society. This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I was speaking with a lady at my job. I work in the family court, domestic relations, and I was encouraging her with scripture because she was a little down and depressed about her situation. It was reported to the man that I work for, who is a judge. He spoke with me and said that I cannot do that in the court building because of the church and state issue.
Well, yeah, I hate to disagree with a judge, but, you know, oftentimes we do, and with all respect, the judge doesn't understand that when you go to work, your First Amendment rights go with you, and you can't be actively, quote, proselytizing, but you certainly, in a conversation with another employee, can have a discussion about your faith, or if she's facing a serious problem and needs some spiritual encouragement, you should be able to do that. But again, I point to the fact, who's going to decide your case? A federal judge, if it ever went to court somewhere. And that's why we need the right judges to not be confused about church-state separation.
Visit us at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
We're so excited to be able to tell you about our new expanded audience. We're going to give a big shout-out and hello to the Emerald Coast, all the way from Mississippi to Destin, Florida, as we're bringing in 1.4 million new viewers because we are going to be on WHBR. That's right, the VFM radio program. Just you're finally going to get a chance to be able to see us Monday through Friday at 2 p.m. Central Time. Of course, we're always going to be here on VFN Radio 24/7, live from 9 to 11 Central Time. But you're going to be able to see us on every day, that day, on WHBR. Find out your listings in your area. You can go to VFNTV.com to find out the times and locations for your area. But it's 2 p.m. Central Time, all the way from Mississippi to Destin, Florida. You'll be able to see us, VFN Radio, taking place. We are so excited about it.
Do you know there's over 25 million children living in fatherless homes in America? The father's absence and the degrading of the father's role is just all around us. You know why? Because the enemy wants to destroy our perception of what a father is. But I got news for you. The reason why the all-out right attack is on the natural father, because Father God loves you and has got a plan for your life, and he's trying to break down, the give you a life of no grid to be able to find what a father is. Let me tell you something. Father God loves you and has a plan for your life. As a matter of fact, he made a roadmap. He made a way to him, a bridge to him. He loves you so much, and he wants you so much in his family. He wants to be your father that he gave his son, Jesus Christ. Listen, you can go to meetmyfather.org, meetmyfather.org, where you can meet Father God through his son, Jesus Christ. We share a couple of our stories to kind of give you a grid that we're all the same. But you know what? God loves you and has a plan for your life. Find him, meet him. Go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining me today is Pat and Steve. The Obama administration now is committed to supposedly, you know, religious freedom that's taking place in the world, but it seems like that's with a question mark. And they had a minister of religion that was working there, former U.S. House Speaker. Former U.S. House Speaker Newt Gingrich was talking about that this is the opposite that's taking place. I mean, it is the opposite that's taking place in the world today, and we're at a place right now that if we don't shake off the religion, if we don't wake up and realize that Jesus has called us to follow him, that's it, period. Which means to follow his ways, then whoever we're presently following, whatever darkness is being followed, will actually consume this nation. Mm-hmm. And so CBN has an interview with and he's talking about, and this was at the Clash of the Titans, where they come together with all the viewpoints that are going on about present day happenings in America at Regent University, and you got to hear this because I totally agree. I mean, this is exactly where it's going. And so they're replacing the one who there was actually a Baptist pastor, I guess, was mm-hmm. over it originally. I'm thinking, like, how could you be over with what's taking place in the religious freedom today? It's like, mm-hmm. my goodness, it's like it's totally against that. Christians are crying out. We're not even giving them asylum from right. from Syria and from Egypt, reportedly.
Mm-hmm.
And listen, this is just this. We got to really pay attention to this. But this is CBN News reporting on Clash of the Titans.
Speaker of the House and 2012 presidential candidate Newt Gingrich said President Obama isn't doing enough to protect religious minorities under attack. Gingrich took part in Regent University's annual Clash of the Titans. It's a political debate that took place recently. That's where we asked him about the administration's stand on religious freedom.
You look at the Muslim Brotherhood, which is burning down churches. You look at the radicals in Syria who have been beheading priests. Nobody in this administration, and frankly, nobody in our news media outside of places like the 700 Club and CBN, are willing to talk about the very real threat, something which, to his credit, Rand Paul has talked about, and that is that there is a war against Christians all across the region.
Gingrich's comments came just days after the U.S. Ambassador for Religious Freedom resigned her post. Dr. Susan Johnson Cook held the position for 17 months. President Obama nominated the former Baptist pastor to the post after it sat vacant for nearly 2 years. While she tried to highlight some violations, religious freedom advocates say she could have done more. Dr. Thomas Farr is director of the Religious Freedom Project at Georgetown University. He also served as the first director of the State Department's Religious Freedom Office from 1999 to 2003. Recently, Wendy Griffith spoke with him about the ambassador's resignation and the Obama administration's record of protecting religious freedom.
Well, Tom, you say the resignation of Susan Johnson Cook presents the Obama administration with an opportunity. How so?
Well, there have been a lot of critics of the administration's policy on religious freedom, including myself. Here's an opportunity with 3 years left in the administration to appoint a dynamic diplomat, and there are plenty of candidates out there who can really do something with this office, do something with the policy. A number of things have to be done to make that happen, but personnel is the first step in a good policy. So I think it's important that they move quickly and find somebody that, as I say, has some diplomatic experience, committed to religious freedom, and can turn this policy around because it really needs it. We've got a big problem in the world, Wendy.
Why is standing up for religious freedom so important to U.S. foreign policy, especially right now?
Well, there are two reasons. One is it's the right thing to do. And that's something that Americans should not have to be convinced of. It's the first freedom, something we've stood for historically, not just for Americans, but for all people, not just for one faith, but for all faiths. So it's the right thing to do, and it reflects who we are as a people. But beyond that, religious freedom, if we can advance it around the world successfully, will have a couple of very important effects on our national security. For one thing, if you'll think of Egypt, for example, or if you like Pakistan, Iraq, or any of the other countries in the world that are struggling to have stable democracies, it won't work without religious freedom. And we have utterly failed to make the case to them. It's a very practical case. It has nothing to do with theology or your religion or mine. It is that if you can't get this religious freedom business straight, you're going to fail at democracy. If you want to undermine religion-related terrorism, you got to have religious freedom. We need to convince people of that because it's true.
Well, let me ask you this. How would you rate the Obama administration's commitment to religious freedom so far?
Well, you know, we have a new Secretary of State, John Kerry, relatively new. We want to give him a chance. And so what I have to say is not really his responsibility. But if you look around the world, it's difficult to think, or at least I cannot think of one country in the world where U.S. religious freedom policy has either reduced religious persecution or increased religious freedom. That's a sad record. And for the most powerful country in the world, a country that has touted religious freedom as the first freedom. So let's hope that with this new ambassador with a new Secretary of State that things will turn around. I want to be hopeful about it.
Dr. Thomas Farr, thanks so much for joining us.
With CBN News reporting right there, they're talking about beheading. For two years, our president left this very important office unmanned.
Mm-hmm.
And then after 2 years, and you can imagine if you pull God out for 2 years, you know, somebody standing up for Christians for 2 years, and you throw whoever in at the end of 2 years, and now they have 18 months.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're fighting a huge battle because darkness has taken a stronghold.
Right.
And they're talking beheadings.
Mm-hmm.
Beheadings. A war against Christianity. Susan Johnson Cook is the one that they appointed for 18 months, and they're saying that she didn't get anything accomplished that she wanted to get accomplished.
Right.
And it's like, you know, you start finding out, oh, I'm a figurehead. They're not really wanting my opinion here in the context of that. But they, I think she was there about 16 months, they said. But for 2 years, it was vacant. How naive do we have to be? America, how naive do we have to be? Right now, you know, this is truly, if we don't wake up, the direction, this is not good. But this is enough for us to wake up to realize that persecution of Christians and Jews, I believe that was 75% of all religious persecution in the world, happens to Christians. Christians. And it's like, we need to wake up because now it's beginning to happen because of America allowing it to happen and even allowing it to happen even in the borders of our own country. Well, you're listening to VFN Radio. I want to thank our sponsors today for Fish and Grits. If you haven't got a chance to go in the Emerald Coast area and to go, it's either in Pensacola, and have a nice meal with Fish and Grits. Nothing goes better with fried fish than grits. And personally, with me, is cheese grits. Cordova Lanes, also located in the Pensacola area, right near Pensacola Junior College. A wonderful place to relax with your family. A nice, clean family entertainment. And a lot of great things there. They're a supporter of ours at Cordova Lanes. Visit them in Pensacola. You can find out more about our sponsors at VFNTV.com. And Glenn Parker with Allen Turner Honda. Make sure you go with pre-owned cars. He will help you get in a car today. Visit more at VFNTV.com.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
We have to understand, this is serious times.
Yeah.
And we're seeing now the weakening of a nation. And this is how it works. I mean, the big question, this is today's special offer. It's available to you right today, this week. You need to get it. All you do is just make an offer of any low offer, any gift. Just go to VFNTV.com, click on the special offer. But you have to ask this question, is America under God's judgment? It's a two-part series. It's yours for any offering whatsoever. We want you to get it.
Mm.
Immediately, you'll be sent a link to be able to download it, to be able to begin to listen to it. Why not take long enough to just ask yourself the question and begin to hear the biblical explanation? Look at the law. Look at the evidence. Look at the Word of God, look at the evidence, and each phase of judgment, you can find out if this is true, because God will turn over a nation.
Wow. At VFN Radio, we are looking for greater ways for you to be able to connect anywhere you go. We know that you can listen to VFN Radio on the go through the app, but now we also have the podcast. It's a great way for you to be able to automatically get all the segments totally downloaded to your digital device, no matter where you're at. You can go to VFNTV.com and click podcast, and you'll configure it and set it up so that no matter where you're at, you automatically have all of the highlights automatically downloaded on your digital device. VFNTV.com, click podcast.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, welcome back. I'm Greg. Joining me is Pat and Steve. Can you believe that Paul was writing to believers that were in a city called Corinth, and he was talking to them? He was a lot of different things, but one thing he talked about, and you can read it in 1 Corinthians 11:17, he says, In the following directive, I have no praise for you, for your meetings do more harm than good. I mean, think about that. He's saying, listen, what you guys are doing, you were better off before you showed up. That's what he's saying.
That's pretty bad.
That's what he's saying. And even Jesus said the same thing. He said, listen, you go all the way across the sea to win a convert, and when they follow you, you put more on their back they can't even carry. You don't lift a finger to help them. You make them twice as much a son as hell as you are. There's this concept in the American mind psyche that says, go to church. Mm. Go to church. And it's like, well, how about be the church?
Right.
Think about that. And gather. He's talking about right here because he's writing to the church of an entire city. Mm-hmm. So he's not writing to a building somewhere. He's talking right to the building of Christ. And he's saying, listen, your gatherings, your meetings are doing more harm than good. Because if we define, and this is what's happened, and we're just rethinking the context of what God is telling us here, because whatever we're doing is obviously not producing what needs to be produced, what God says.
Right.
And you know, if going, just going, no matter what's happening, even if it's doing more harm than good, all of a sudden, religiously, people check a box off in their mind thinking, well, at least I went. It's like, to what? You know, to what? What right. Was it more harm than good? And he starts breaking it down. This is what he breaks it even down, talking about, you know, why it was doing more harm than good. I mean, you think about when God was dealing with Jehoshaphat for having a relationship with Ahab, and when he's prophesying, when Jehu was prophesying to Jehoshaphat, he says, listen, tell everybody to go home. Get away. Ahab's not a good leader. Ahab's just leading God's people astray. And of course, then God removed Ahab, the context right in that same paradigm. But it was just like, at some point, you know, if infection's going to come in your life because you show up, it's best not to get infected.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, is you know, if that's what's happening there at that gathering place, find the place where Jesus is gathering and go there, where the Lord is showing up. I mean, it's important, and there's a lot of gatherings. The people who love Jesus and will love you, and you'll be able to love them. And this is what he says. He says, there's division amongst you.
It's like, yeah.
I mean, he's talking about one of the things that's caused more harm than good is that you guys are all divided up.
Mm-hmm.
You got divisions. I mean, you think about that.
Mm-hmm. Not good.
Not good at all.
No.
Somebody says, that sounds like a three-dimensional board meeting. And there's divisions amongst you. And then he says, there's even cliques. There's even cliques he talks about. It says, you have your own private suppers. You have your own little private things that you guys do. Mm-hmm. And you leave other people out. Even when everyone's present, you have your own little private little thing going on.
Mm-hmm.
Got your own little parking space. Got your own little boutique. Mm-hmm. Got your own little table. I'm just saying. You know, and this makes it's like Jesus sat with us, and so it's important to think about how to not have division, not have cliques, you know. And then he goes on and says that you know, you think about this uncaring attitude leaves some hungry because you're eating all the food and humiliating all those who show up who don't have food. In other words, every decision that this particular damaging place called a place where they gather, they're not taking everybody into consideration. They're just thinking about themselves. Mm-hmm. And most of all, they're not taking the least likely into consideration when they're making those mm-hmm. decisions. You think it's like, do you think we need another color carpet right now since this one's good?
Right.
And so-and-so's, you know, going through what they're going through, right?
Right.
I mean, that's what he's saying, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is it time now for another wing on the building or to mend the wing of Mrs. Susan, whoever? And so, And I'm not having anything against buildings. Believe me, I don't. They're great for rain and weather and gathering places and all that. He even says some are getting drunk at the meetings. Oh, wow. They're getting drunk. Turn the page, show us. I was like, oh, my goodness.
Wow.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, just I mean, there was somebody I was spending time with just recently, and they were talking about just the religion that they had been encountered to and people leading, you know, portions of a ministry while they're drunk.
Yeah.
And it's just like, Where is the fear of the Lord? Where is that awareness of that? This is not the gospel that Jesus said to carry out.
Uh-uh. Right.
It's just.
And what you're looking at, this is, you're looking at people fleshing out. Mm-hmm. Everything's about themselves. It's idolatry, just like me. They were totally not caring about anybody else. Mm-hmm. And so showing up at the, I think they even had a church called a me church, something like an I church, something like
oh
that.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Not going there.
Wow. But you know, a lot of people, what? It's about me? Oh my goodness. It's all about me. Jesus. And they were not taking communion in a holy way. All of a sudden, the things that were holy of the Lord, they just weren't taking them in a holy way. There was just like, okay, it's time for the whatever. And he's like, it's amazing how people get in task modes and all of a sudden they're taking holy things and they're treating it so unholy. And it's like, it's better for you not to take communion in front of folks mm-hmm. if you're doing it in such a task mode. Mm-hmm. It's a holy moment. It's a holy, and understand you're doing more damage than good. I'm sure the Lord's going, don't bring my name up. Mm-mm. Real quick, take my name down. And they were taking communion in an unworthy manner, resulting in weakness, sickness, and early death. And what it was they weren't even discerning the reality that this was the body of Christ. They weren't even realizing they were in the presence of Jesus.
Yeah.
And they were dishonoring and disrespecting Jesus. He said, whatever you've done to the least of these, you've done it to me. Mm-hmm. The reason why Jesus takes it personal, because it is personal. When you didn't think about them, you didn't think about him. Mm-hmm. When you treated communion, which is the representation of his sacrifice, unholy, you treated the very thing that brought us in, the symbolism of what brought us in, and what he actually did, unholy and frivolously. When he says eat together, that was something that he wanted to fellowship with everybody. But you thought it was about you, and so now you went ahead and ate and didn't understand. There were some other folks that Jesus wanted to eat with too.
That's right.
Think about that. He wanted to fellowship with all of you together. Mm-hmm. But you were just thinking about, you didn't realize that Jesus wanted to be present. Where two or more gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so we're thinking, my goodness, I could see where there could be a lot of damaging gatherings.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Some of your meetings are doing more harm than good. Some of your gatherings are doing more harm than good. How many meetings have happened where it was just a resource sucking from the body of Christ only to feel something somewhere else while it left that community high and dry in the context of it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about that. When the Lord allows these weaknesses and sicknesses and these things that I mean, he's not doing them. But he says, you know, many people are weak and sick and die early for they wrongfully discern the body of Christ. It doesn't sneak past him.
All right.
So when we invite this stuff into our gatherings, into our fellowship, when we begin to have damaging gatherings, when we are doing things unholy and in a wrong way with wrong motives, it all can look the same. But believe me, if you stand at the judgment seat of Christ when he's going, many of you said to me, Lord, Lord, you know, it's going to be a dividing line there.
That's right.
A dividing line that takes place there. And I'm just telling you this because you may be going to a gathering place that's been so damaging to you, and all you're hearing is, you need to go to church, you need to go to church, you need to go to church, you need to go to church. And the more you go, the worse you feel. And I'm telling you is that, first of all, you might not be saved. You need to give your life to Jesus and become part of the church. Secondly, you need to find a place that gathers who loves Jesus and loves you and loves his word and teach fully from the word of God. And you're going to thrive in that. Mm-hmm. And somebody who realizes and that you realize that you're all the body of Christ and how you treat each other is how you treat Jesus. And so going through this hardship, these things happening when gatherings, just like, man, there's just so much sickness in that church gathering. There's so many things attacking that church gathering there. You got to start asking yourself, I mean, the enemy comes in and all of us can be attacked by anything. We have to fight our way through it, and God restores us from our sickbed. But all of a sudden, you can start wondering, we've got to make sure and ask ourselves the question, have we been having damaging meetings? Have we been having gatherings, and everybody's just showing up and being religious while nobody's even thinking about Jesus amongst us? I've been going to this gathering for 6 months, and I didn't even know it was a church.
Wow.
That's exactly, and somebody was bragging on that. A pastor was bragging on that because he wanted to be friendly and stuff. Like, if it's about Jesus, you know.
Should be obvious.
And you're saying then Jesus didn't show up for 6 months. Right? I mean, pretty much so. She didn't know it was about Jesus, and it's for 6 months. It's like, that's not nothing to brag about. So not going to your church gathering or your meeting is not the answer, because it assures that you don't care either. It's beginning to check yourself and see if you're in the faith. It's important for you to stop thinking about going to church and start being the church. And the fact that you are the church, you show up in reverential fear with the body of Christ and you gather as the church. Because going to church does not guarantee you no condemnation at the throne of God and access into heaven. Just showing up. I mean, you're going to have to become a child of God. And unity is so important. You don't want to forsake gathering, because he tells us that it's a place that pleases God, and it's the place of the commanded blessing in Psalms 133. John 17:23, Jesus tells us that's his whole goal, for us to be unified, Christ-centered, unified, in complete unity, because that's our greatest witness. But it's not unified with the devil. It's not unified with people who are Christ-haters. It's not unified with people who are having damaging, who are hurting the body of Christ.
Right.
It's unified. That's, how is that going to actually help anybody? It's not going to help anybody. What's going to help them? We're unified in love. Love for God, love for others, and a desire to lead other people to do the very same thing. You see, it's not about you.
That's right.
I know they may have told you it's about you, but it's not about you. It's about Jesus. This is when you become born again, the Spirit of God lives inside of you, and God eagerly desires to have communion with his Son's Spirit in you. He's in love with his Son. And by the way, you're supposed to be too.
Right.
You know, you're supposed to be, it shouldn't be like, I can't believe he's not in love with me. He's only in love with Jesus. Like, aren't you in love with God and Jesus too? This is a love affair. This is like an amazing thing.
Right.
Brought into complete unity, brought together.
To let the world know that you love them even as you love me.
Right.
See, it's about Jesus. It's about loving God, loving others, and leading others to do the same. Never forget, Jesus made it very clear in Matthew chapter 25, whatever we do or don't do to the least of these, we do or don't do to him. So when we gather together with people who are believers, we are being tested. That is our moment of testing. Do we love Jesus?
Right.
Because he says, if you say you love me, but you can't love your brother,
mm-hmm.
you can't. It's impossible to do. Besides, he said, you would be a liar.
That's right.
So when we come together, we can check ourselves to find out where are we in this love with Jesus by how we love the body. It's when we come together, that is a moment. That is a moment. We'll talk more about this after the break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
You know, when I'm sitting here thinking about, the Lord, our God, that when he was with his people, and we could read the word of God, and he shows us, he demonstrated his ability to provide for his people in the wilderness. The first thing he did when he delivered Israel out of bondage and slavery was to take them in a place that they had to totally see that he was going to provide for them no matter what. They were surrounded by conditions with no water and no provision, and they just had to trust God. They had to abide with God. And think about that. And God demonstrated his ability to meet their needs despite what was going on in their economy, in their ecology, with their environment, with the heat and the weather and all that. As a matter of fact, listen to Brother John Kilpatrick with Church of His Presence, and I'll be right back.
And the other day, the Holy Spirit said this to me. He said, tell the church, son, when you get back up to preach, he said, tell the church that these things are going to get worse. He said, but tell them For those that will live by my word, it'll have no effect on them whatsoever. He said it'll have no effect on them. And what the Holy Spirit here is saying is, what the Holy Spirit is saying is, even though the economy, like what prophets are saying right now, is that there may be some states in the United States that might be not friendly toward Israel, or they might be real liberal, and they're going to start suffering financially.
Yeah.
Yes.
And there might be other states in the United States that loves Israel and loves God, and they're a God-fearing state, and they have a good governor and good legislature, and they're trying to please God, and they're just going to prosper and get all kinds of new businesses and everything. The Holy Spirit said, just as that's working like sheep states and goat states in the United States, he said the same thing's going to happen in a city, that whoever tithes and obeys me and loves me and serves me, I will pour out my favor on them and my blessings upon them. And nothing can thwart my blessings on these people. They're going to be a demonstration to everyone around them what it means to be a child of God. So I want to encourage you right now in Jesus' name, God is about to bless your socks off right under the devil's nose.
That's so encouraging. That's exactly what, you know, that God's been sharing with us. That's what we're hearing from Rick Joyner and Morningstar Ministries, and those are hearing from the Lord. Listen, don't panic. You're about to be a sign. You're about to be a wonder if you're abiding with God. Jesus said very specifically in John 15, 5 through 7, he says, I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, or abide in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. Think about this. He says, if you remain in me and my word remains in you, ask whatever you wish and it'll be done for you. Just like God provided for Israel in the wilderness, the manna that came down in the morning, the shade, and when everybody else is hot, they were covered. God's going to take care of you if you stick with God. You begin to abide with him. If you don't know how to abide with him, you want to begin to abide with him. You know Jesus, but you want to abide, learn how. We have a simple plan for you. You can go to iabide.org, iabide.org, and request your simple plan today. Listen, if you're walking in obedience and abiding with the Lord, hearing his voice, relating to him, he's got you covered. That's iabide.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat and Steve. We're talking, continuing a conversation with what Paul said. He says, your gatherings, your meetings are doing more damage than good.
Right.
Going to church is doing more damage than good, he's talking about. Well, wow. You would say in America, and of course we would say, you know, being the church, you won't have to worry about that, because mm-hmm. wherever you go, it's going to, in the context of that, mm-hmm. including if it's even a crystal cathedral that you're going to. And so he said, all right, we got to remember, Jesus, it's our test. The test, somebody says, I can't believe somebody says you need to test yourself to see if you're in the faith. And it's like, no, they're actually reading that out of the Bible.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And how would you test yourself? Do you just sit here and like take a true and false question test? Do you try to memorize the, you know, when the Lord's going to come back? I mean, how do you test yourself? Well, you test yourself by, do you love God and do you love others? That's your test. Everything hangs on that. All the laws of the prophets, everything hangs on these two commands. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. It's love. Mm-hmm. So when you show up, wherever you show up, you got to really define now what is the church, because you may be showing up at a place that does more harm to the church than good. To the body of Christ, I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be real difficult for you, and you're going to be really confused, because you're going to say, for some reason, you know, I love God, but when I come to this particular place, people are talking about everything but God, and it's like, I'm just so confused with the context of this, and this is what I believe Time Magazine reported, and definitely George Bonner reported, was that people are leaving church to keep their intimacy with God, to stay close to God. And, of course, wow. What's really going on, they're leaving a building or they're gathering it. They're not leaving the church. The church is the body of Christ. This letter was written to the whole city that we're talking from. Mm-hmm. So you quit thinking that you're it. It's like the universal church, the regional church, the city church. We're all the same thing. That's why it matters that we get along. And but not just with those that are damaging the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. And he said, so your meetings do more damage than good. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing. You know, you... Lucifer understands this, but it's like the church doesn't understand this. And even Lucifer's followers understand this. But the, and it's like, but maybe they do. Maybe the church does, but they just want, they want the same thing that Lucifer wanted, was God's glory.
Mm-hmm.
Because they use their gifts and distract everybody with their gifts. Once at a living, and there is no love there. There's the click thing. There's the division thing. There's all these different things that are happening in this unholy whatever's taking place. And it's like, you're doing more damage than good. Yeah, you used your talent. Yeah, you sang your song. But you, you know,
you're killing people right now.
You're killing people right, right now. And it's just like, and we'll talk about fruitless wonders coming up in the extra hour, but it's like, you know, oh my goodness, we'll talk about, I'm not going to waste any time with that aspect. But he's saying you're doing more damage than good in your meetings when you come together. So the biggest test of our faith, if we're right with God, is when we gather together, do I think, am I preparing all week long or all couple days long, whatever, I'm fixing to gather with Jesus, and I want to show up and I want to have something to bring. I want to abide with God all this week, so when I show up, I'm going to have something to contribute. I'm going to think about what, maybe you guys are going to have a meal together or something coming up, and you're thinking, you know, I'm not going to just grab some whatever, and I'm going to put some effort and energy into fixing for Jesus, because whatever I do to the least of these of mine, of his, I do to Jesus. You know, I'm not going to take the best seat in the house. I'm going to sit back and wait where people land, and I'm going to take the balance, that whatever's left.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in that kind of context, you're thinking, because it's Jesus, whatever you do, to the, you can check yourself if you're in the faith. In these meetings, he said, was doing more damage than good. And this is what he says. He goes on to say in 1 Corinthians 11:29, for anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord, Jesus Christ, realizing this is his body,
mm-hmm.
not the bread, the people you're taking it with,
right.
that eats and drinks judgment to themselves. So if you're abusing a brother in the Lord, if you're gossiping and slandering and causing division and derision and factions and all, whatever, you know, all the childish, fleshly, carnal, mm-hmm. you know, juvenile, Lucifer behaviors that adults do sometimes, that it's like you're causing damage, and you're gonna have that's judgment to yourself. Hebrews 6:10, he tells us God is not unjust; he will not forget the love you have shown him. As you help his people, and as you continue to help them, well, guess what? God's not unjust. He will not forget the pain you caused his people,
mm-hmm.
and the water you didn't bring them, and the food you didn't share with them,
mm-hmm.
and the life you didn't give, lay down for them. Think about it. And right. you continue to do this,
right.
and it goes mm-hmm. both ways. Our church meetings can do more harm than good when we fail to recognize that we are meeting with Jesus. He'll be in our midst. Where two or more are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them, and loving them, and loving them as loving him. And the denying of ourselves to meet someone else's needs, a brother's need or a sister's need in our gathering, you're actually doing that for Jesus. That's what's so cool about it. That's what's so neat about it. The sad thing about it is when you can't even tithe to Jesus, when you can't even... You can't even fix a meal of your best food or bring a nice dress for a lady or whatever. So, you know, something. It's always the hand-me-down. It's always the, I'm done with this. It's always the this is the last thing left in the pantry. I don't like this stuff anyway. You know, that kind of thing. It's like, man, what are you, you're just saying you're treating Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Wanting the best seat in the house. Oh, my goodness. How embarrassing is that going to be at the throne room? And a shame it will it be at the throne room.
Mm-hmm.
But this should be empowering. It's like, oh, it is empowering, because now I'm realizing that there are some meetings that are empowering, good, encouraging, filled with love, but there are some other gatherings that are damaging. And if that doesn't change its ways, just change your place where you gather.
That's right.
If I ask God, where do you want me to relate? Because I want to love you and I want to love others. The answer is not leaving, but standing up for God in that place. Begin to be the church there in that place. Deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow Jesus. That's his clear expectations for us. That's what he's asking of us. And get into the Word of God. Begin to abide with God. But he says very specifically, he says it in 2 Timothy 3:1-5, he says, but mark this. But mark this. This is the last, these are last day gatherings. And as we get closer to the last days, the gatherings are going to get more damaging and more damaging. So you have to find out the right ones. Not all that gatherings. But he says this in 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. But mark this, he's saying. This is Paul writing to Timothy. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, looks like a normal gathering, but denying the power, have nothing to do with them. Have nothing to do with them. What's he saying? He says, listen, don't go to those kind of gatherings. Have nothing to do with them. That's what he plainly tells us, have nothing to do with them. 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 2, we'll talk about that in the extra hour, but understand, it's okay for you to go, listen, this is just not good. I need to get to a place that loves God. I need to get to a place where I can love others and love God. I want to thank our sponsors that are joining us today with the Blue Angel Hot Tub and Pools. I want to thank Joyce for, you can get a hot tub anywhere, shipped anywhere you want to in the United States. And listen, it is so nice to be able to relax in a nice, warm, jetted pool, almost like the Arkansas Springs. Also, a good big shout out to the Coffee House and thank the Coffee House for standing with us in Pensacola area. You can find out how to get there by going to VFNTV.com and click on our sponsors. But there's nice leather couches and Wi-Fi and sandwiches and all this kind of stuff. It's located close to where the military is in Pensacola off of Navy Boulevard. You've got to go there and get you a cup.
Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at VFNTV.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at VFNTV.com. You're listening to VFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side.
Great thing about all of our VFN Radio listeners is that so many of them are connecting to us on Facebook. You know, we have a Facebook page. You may be listening today, you may not be aware, but we do. And you can go to facebook.com/VFNTV, or you can go to our VFNTV.com and click Facebook. Be a part. Like us. Tell your friends to like us. We're creating a virtual stadium where everyone can connect and be a part and get fresh updates on everything that happens that day on the program. Don't forget, go to VFNTV.com and click Facebook.
We found another way how you can stay connected with VFN Radio. It's the Torch newsletter. Every week, the Torch goes out into your email, whether it's on your phone, tablet, or home PC. The Torch newsletter is going to give you the best of the best of VFN Radio for that week. It's also going to give you all the latest highlights. Of course, you can sign up by going to VFNTV.com and selecting newsletter sign up, or you can text VFNTV at 22828 and type in your email address. Sign up for the Torch newsletter now.